How many of you are participating in this festival of the Holy Name for the first time? A few. Several, okay. Something that we try to do for the festival of the Holy Name is inspire devotees on one day, that's today, to increase your chanting. Of course, quality is also nice, but increase your chanting quantity. We call it 32 round day. The reason for that is when there's japa retreats, which this isn't, this is the festival of the Holy Name, it's 64 round day. So this is a piece of cake. This is 32. But there are a number of participants that chant 64 on 32 round day. And that's very nice. But we encourage even our newcomers, chant 32 rounds at least or more. And something that we'll do later in Songin, we'll gather again and have some sharing of different things. You know, what your experience was. You can think ahead of time what you might say if you raise your hand or if you're called upon, even if you don't raise your hand. What helped you the most to go, to stay focused as you recall the theme. The songs, the Vaishnava bhajans that were sung by Sri Rupa and Shatarupa were songs that Badahari sung during the Seattle Japa retreat that he selected on the theme of humility aiding our accessing the holy name, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. And one difference is it was Badahari singing. Then another difference was Badahari explained. And next time Shatarupa and I'll do it publicly now, and Sri Rupa sing, please explain, you know, the significance, the connection between the song and the theme at least. Because it will help the purpose be fulfilled, the support of the theme, and this plus that plus that plus that in the theme strengthens the theme. So we'll ask you this afternoon what helped you the most as you were chanting. You don't have to answer that question, but that's one of the questions we'll be asked. And just to give you some idea, in the 64 round day, one girl that's 11 years old chanted 108 rounds. Oh no, it was 100 rounds, excuse me, 100 rounds. 100 rounds. Wow. And I don't think it was fiction. I mean, some of the boys said some big numbers and I don't know if it was fact or fiction. But this young girl, she was fixed. And without mentioning any names, some of the young people that chanted 64 are now chanting 16 because if I can chant 64, I can chant 16 every day. Yay. So the intention of today, 32 round day, is to help us quantitatively and qualitatively improve. And the whole event, improve our chanting. This specifically is chanting japa, one of the foremost of the forms. So now a couple of other little items. Monavrata, you saw it written on the schedule. Those of you that haven't participated, that means not just speak softly, don't speak. Mona. So Mona will begin right after class. So then right after class, breakfast will be served and you observe Mona. And you'll find it's not just like, oh my goodness, what a difficult thing. It's helpful you observe Mona Vrata, and it will help your focus. And you'll see when you observe Mona Vrata, what the tendency is to just make sounds. Meaningful or meaningless, you gotta make some sound. Blah, blah, blah. Or Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But you can chant Krishna's name, that's also Mona Vrata. But no conversation. Up until 2:15, you know, parents that have to interact with children that need some message, you speak softly and quietly and without disturbing, and then finish in Mona. Then I just learned the hard way a few times. If you want to stay really focused, through the course of 32 rounds, two things. As far as possible, stay in close proximity. You know, stay in the temple room. If you have to go, there's a nice lake that way, and go for a walk by the lake if you need to do that. Otherwise, stay in the company of the devotees. Tulsi will be in the temple room. I don't know where Jai Jagannath is, but if Jai Jagannath can be asked to bring Haridas Thakur downstairs, because he's upstairs. Haridas Thakur is upstairs? Yes. A life-size Haridas Thakur. He's big. And he's inspirational. So different sources of inspiration. So try to stay very focused. And second is, don't eat a big breakfast. I learned the hard way. Don't eat a big breakfast. It's really hard to stay focused after breakfast if you eat a big breakfast. So eat modestly. And you don't even have to eat if you don't want, or go later. It's like that. So those are some pointers. And I'll remind you when we're done, Mona Vrata. It's important. You'll see. If you observe it, you'll see. And now, this morning's class, I'll purposefully not elaborate on points, but part of what we're going to do is, did Nityananda Pran speak with somebody that's here to arrange for paper in case people need paper? You have paper? Okay. Part of what we're going to do is mentally prepare yourself. We'll take 5 to 7 minutes, just like Krishna Das Kaviraj speaks about 5 to 7 minutes. We'll take 5 to 7 minutes on writing something down. You'll see there's a slide that prompts you to reflect and write something down. So we'll do that as part of the exercise of what we're going to be doing during this class, and also for the benefit of after the class. So here's the title, Feeling Complete with the Holy Name. Who's that on the left? Haridas Thakur, chanting the Holy Name, very happy. And behind is the dome of the Jagannath Mandir, the chakra at the top. As far as humility, we know Haridas Thakur felt himself unqualified to enter the temple of Jagannath because he was low-born. And Lord Chaitanya made an arrangement for his place of residence in Puri, to be where he could sit and see the chakra at the top, and told him that's the same as seeing Lord Jagannath. So in the mode of humility, as is the theme for this festival of the Holy Name, Haridas Thakur, our acharya for the chanting of the Holy Name. Now I wanted to begin with a little correction. It's important things, right? I mentioned...
Yesterday I mentioned a verse quoted
from Skanda Purana, quoted by Jiva Goswami in his Tattva Sandarbha. And the place of reference, I said, was text 23, it's text 15. And here's the reference. I'll just read. The name of Sri Krishna is the perfect fruit of the creeper of the entire Vedic Shruti, as stated in the Prabhas Kanda, Skanda Purana. Oh, best of the Bhrigu dynasty, the holy name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet, the most auspicious of the auspicious. It is the transcendental fruit of all the Vedas and is purely spiritual. Whoever chants it but once, whether with faith or neglectfully, is liberated. That is to say, the holy name, what does Harinam Chintamani say? That the holy name, Purnashuddho Nitya Mukto. The holy name is Nitya Mukto. So you contact the holy name and you're in the Mukto position. You may not be Nitya Mukto because the next moment you could do nonsense. And so it's, at least when chanting is in the liberated position, it frees one, as we know from the story of Ajamila in the sixth canto Bhagavatam, it frees one from all the reactions of all sins, even Abhas Nam, chanting the holy name. And just to some another correction, the reference that I made to this yesterday was, I got a little confused, or I mixed this with that. The reference comes in texts 15, parts 1 and 2. There are statements, it's a concluding set of statements made in Tattva Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami with scriptural reference to indicate that the Puranas and the Itihasas means Mahabharata and Ramayana category, they're in that category, and the Puranas, there's 18 principal Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of them. And Vishnu Purana and Padma Purana and the others. The Puranas and Itihasas are Vedic. They're as Vedic as the Shrutis are Vedic. The Shrutis say it. And the Puranas say it, and there are, he establishes, he's proving. So he says, I've demonstrated, I've proven the Puranas and Itihasas are Vedic. And the very next, this one, the reference is, when Vyasadeva divided the Vedas and also compiled the Puranas, who did he entrust the Puranic portion of the literature to? The Smriti portion of the literature to? Romaharshan Sutta. And the next question. When Romaharshan Sutta was kusagrasthed by Balaram, because Romaharshan Sutta failed to stand in honor of Balaram when he was on pilgrimage, and Romaharshan Sutta was speaking from the Puranas because that's what he did. He spoke the Puranas. There's mention there that he was not actually a Brahmana. He was rather born from a Pratiloma merit, not a pure Brahmana. What does that mean? It means that his father was a Kshatriya and his mother was a Brahmana, so that's where, it's a Pratiloma marriage. the wife was of higher birth than the husband, so pratiloma marriage, and therefore technically Ramaharshan Sutta was not a pure brahmana. But those who are not pure brahmanas may speak the, even for Vedic, you know, strict smarta brahmana people, Ramaharshan Sutta, under Vyasa's direction, was put in charge of the Puranas and spoke the Puranas. So as Ramaharshan Sutta could speak the Puranas, Ramaharshan Sutta can also chant the holy name, and the holy name, the reference, the speaker, is Lord Shiva. And he's a very, very high authority. And on his authority, he's saying, the name of Krishna, sweetest of the sweet, most auspicious of the auspicious, and it is the fruit of all the Vedas. That's for the smarter folks, that's the Shruti. As the holy name is accessible by anyone, right? There's not a requirement of what your birth is to chant Krishna's holy name. Krishna's very, Lord Chaitanya teaches this. Smaratak niyamatak, smarana, niyamatak smarane nakala. What is it? There's no niyamas, there's no rules and regulations. There's no restrictions who can chant Krishna's name. As similarly, there's no restrictions who can chant, who can recite the Puranas. The inference in his commentary with reference to this is that as the holy name is the ripe, is the fruit of all the Vedas, within the holy name is all the Vedas, its ripened fruit is the holy name. Similarly, the Puranas are the ripened fruit. Because he goes on and explains, there's references that say, if someone is a scholar and they studied all the four Vedas, but they do not study the Puranas, then they're not considered intelligent and learned. Because the Puranas are the foundation of all the wisdom within the Vedas. Anyway, that's just correcting something that I said yesterday, not exactly correct, not proper. So it's a nice reference when we're chanting today. O best of the Bhrigu dynasty, the holy name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet, the most auspicious of the auspicious. It is the transcendental fruit of all the Vedas and is purely spiritual. Purnashuddho Nijamukto. Whoever chants it but once, whether with faith or neglectfully, is liberated. So don't chant neglectfully. Go beyond liberated. Enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Meditation. Do so. So here's a meditation while chanting your 32 rounds today. That is, through the holy name, we can experience completeness, not only today, but every day, by connecting with Krishna through his holy name, done so more deeply than superficially. The sense of completeness is accessible to us. So that's the, you'll see this slide, it's the concluding slide also. We're beginning with the end in mind. That's where we're going. So the invocation verse from Ishopanishad establishes what the principle of completeness is. And you know, let's chant it together. Om Purnam Adak Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. As you see in the yellow letters, how many times Purnam is there in the verse? It's an important word. Purnam means complete. So the absolute, that from which everything comes, Purnam, so many Purnams, or complete units emanate, and each one of them is complete, and their completeness is established by the complete whole, who is not reduced by those expansions. And that's really something. It's transcendental. We'll say it this way. Is there something that the mind can think of? Imagine in your mind something that's so big. You take away even a small something and it remains the same unchanged. You can't think of something like that, at least with the material mind, because however big something is, you take away something, it's less. But Krishna is so big, or complete, that so many complete units emanate from him and he's not reduced. Or as Prabhupada would say, spiritual mathematics is 1 minus 1 equals 1. That's bad math, right? This point sitting next to you. 1 minus 1 equals 0. Yeah, 0. 1 minus 1 equals 0. But this is spiritual mathematics. 1 minus 1 equals... You get an A in your exam. Spiritual mathematics. Don't give that in your math class at school. Spiritual mathematics. Here's the translation. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So there's the directly the translation from Srila Prabhupada's Sriyasha Upanishad. Now, this definition of establishing what is completeness tells us that everything is already complete and perfect. Somehow, it's not so uncommon. In fact, it's common. People feel incomplete. They're searching for the feeling of completeness. So that's the invocation. Now, at the first four verses, invocation plus the three mantras, in really simple form, the invocation verse establishes the principle of completeness, and then verse number one, or mantra one, tells us how to practice that completeness. The next is the positive results when you practice completeness. And guess what the other one is? The consequences if you don't. This is a little mini issue Upanishad class, by the way. But it's, the focus is on completeness. So there's different parts to this completeness. There's four parts. One, there's the source of everything, the Om Purnam, the absolute truth, that from which everything comes. And then there's that which comes from the source, this phenomenal world. And then there's the living entities that live within this phenomenal world. What's number four? The arrangement of completeness. So now we're going to explore each one of these four, and we're headed for number four. The complete arrangement. So here we go. It's really simple. There's the complete absolute truth, and that complete absolute truth is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. So Sat, that's the eternal, impersonal aspect of the Supreme, as we see in this cover picture of first canto, that blue spiritual sky, that's the Brahmajyoti. And then chit is the knowledge aspect of the Absolute Truth, that which reveals the form of the Lord, and that feature is the Paramatma, who gives from within the heart of every living being. And then the Ananda feature, or bliss feature of the Supreme, is exhibited in his Bhagavan aspect, which includes the other two. And then, of course, is his form. So that's the Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. That's the Absolute Truth. So that's the first of these four. And then there's the phenomenal world. Prabhupada has translated this Idam, Om Purnam. Idam is, this phenomenal world comes from the Absolute Truth, among other things. So within this phenomenal world, everything is happening according to Krishna's plan. And his plan is, there's a purpose within his plan, although we may not understand his purpose. We may not even be so clear what the plan is. But it's happening under his direction. And because it has, he's the complete whole and he has a plan, there isn't necessity for separate maintenance and sustenance. He has an arrangement for that. And it's sustained by him. We don't need to, like, run around and plug the holes that Krishna left in the bucket. It's complete. And within that arrangement, there's different elements, and Krishna moves and mixes the elements according to necessity to make variety. And then there's the time energy. Krishna moves things by the force of time. It's his time energy. In one sense, it's him. Kalosmi, I am time. But there's also a proper way of understanding it is his energy, Kalashakti. And according to his plan, things happen by the actions of time. And then the third, there is the living entity in this complete arrangement. And all facilities, Prabhupada states very clearly, all facilities required for maintenance, but also facilities for realizing the complete whole, at least within the human form of life that's described in these verses of Ishvarupanishad. And what's the function of the part? The living entity is the part of the whole. So what's the function of the part? It's likened. Standard example that Prabhupada would give, what's the purpose of the hand? It's to serve the whole. And to make it graphically clear, supposing the hand was cut off in the body and thrown in the middle of the floor. Yuck. And it, besides yuck, it's, you know, it doesn't have any function. But the function is put the hand connected to the body and it can do something. In service to the whole. So the living entity thinking oneself separate from the whole, it's dysfunctional. And then there's the function connected to the whole. Serve the whole. Serve the Om Purnam. Serve the complete person. So that's the complete arrangement. So here's the complete arrangement part. Within all the different species of life, there's the human form, where the opportunity, at least, is provided for acting in full consciousness in relation to the Supreme. And the medium for that is devotional service. In all aspects, our senses, our mind, our intelligence, our words, our life, the soul itself dedicated to the service of the Supreme. And that's the sense of completeness. That's the arrangement. Now let's go the other direction. What's the consequences if one doesn't? We don't feel that sense of completeness. And so we struggle. Mama maya duratyaya, for the sense of completeness. Where we want a sense of being connected and loving and being loved and interactions through communication and other types of activities that are very natural. Now we have a function of the soul is its free will. We have some choice and we can independently choose to submit ourselves to Krishna or independently choose, see you later, Krishna. That's within our power. At least it appears. We can think ourselves independent of Krishna. Depending upon how we make our choices, our freedoms are increased or reduced. I like to think of like a visual example is, those of you that haven't been to India, you won't know this example. Cows on a rope. It's very common. Cows are taken out in the morning with a rope, stake on one end, the cow on the other end, and they can graze within the radius of that rope. Sometimes the rope can be shortened. Sometimes the rope can be lengthened. But there's always a rope, or usually, common at least. So we also have more or less freedom, and the greater freedom with a rope is the mode of goodness. There's restriction, voluntary restriction by accepting regulations and so forth, cleanliness and truthfulness and standards of goodness, but it allows greater freedom in terms of our relation with the absolute truth. It gives us access to knowledge of the Supreme. And the more one acts in a mode of ignorance manner, freedom is restricted and restricted and restricted and restricted and restricted. The shorter rope. The sense of completeness is you don't even need a rope because of devotional service. There's the voluntary submission to the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, in this platform of spontaneous devotion, loving devotion. So the arrangement for completeness is there, but then there's this struggle. People struggle to understand their identity and Devamrita Maharaj made a whole presentation which I very much appreciated, so I made a similar presentation on authenticity of individuality. Is the title. Authenticity of individuality. I was speaking on that topic at the University of Illinois in Chicago. I think I was going there with either Charyanishtha or Himanshu. And we were walking through the student union because that's the club was held, it was Charyanishtha, at the student union building. I was just looking around at all the students with their assertion of their individuality. So what's the latest? A few things. Head on backwards. Tattoos. And metal in the face. My individuality. There's my individuality. There's my, you know, anyway, tongue, and they got metal in their tongue. That's me. And that's my statement of my individuality. But is that individuality, or is it copying other people that are... It's not authentic individuality. It's not you. It's a statement. Okay, this is different from that. But is it? So what's individuality? Anyway, authenticity. Struggle. And integrity. It's a struggle. Without the compass of Krishna and go to Krishna, it's all over the place. And you know, today is this and tomorrow is that and no consistency. in terms of integrity of who I really am. You get the idea. And saying, you know, what people do for recreation and their leisure time or their discretionary time, finding a sense of completeness. You get the idea. So the things that people value in life, wishing to find a sense of completeness, of connecting with beauty and nature and harmony and fidelity and integrity, and these are values. How often is it that someone really feels that they've made that connection? So the opportunity for completeness is there, provided according to Ishopanishad and according to our devotional teachings, by connecting with the Supreme. So we're wishing to make that feeling of completeness while separate from Krishna. In short, it ain't gonna happen. It's fiction, or it's illusory. It ends up being I'm centered meat, or I'm taking advantage of other people to make my sense of completeness. And there's no end to it. This doesn't satisfy, and so that doesn't satisfy, and try another arrangement. You know the whole story. There's a sense of something's missing. Exactly what Vyasadev felt after compiling all the Vedas, what to speak of our lives, of doing whatever we do. If we're honest with ourselves, look inside and what's the sense? There's something missing, minimally. There's something missing. An honest person will sense that. So why? In the absence of Krishna, there's going to be that sensation. And that's the nature of maya, the nature of forgetfulness. And then it leads to, not only in this life, continuing looking for that sense of completeness, searching, trying this, trying that, and another birth, and it can go on endlessly, literally endlessly. There's a question some people ask, isn't it that eventually all living entities will return to Krishna? And the answer is no. Krishna doesn't force that. Someone may choose to stay forever separate from him, and Krishna acknowledges. I mean, he's reminding them and encouraging them and providing so many facilities to return, but he doesn't force. There's no guarantee. I learned this from followers of the Mormon faith, the fastest growing group of within Christianity in the world today. They have a view, all living entities eventually achieve spiritual perfection. Well, that's not what Bhagavad Gita teaches. And the striving for completeness, but we continue striving and striving. Here's Srila Prabhupada's statement from a lecture on Ishopanishad given in London. We make efforts to utilize the resources of nature to create a so-called complete life of sense enjoyment. Illusory representation of completeness cannot fully satisfy us. So it's within the invocation. And this other statement, really so nice, concise. All forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. Here's the lecture from London. So, this is the technique of Krishna consciousness, that if you learn how to love Krishna, then you will love everything. Otherwise, your love will be localized and you will be frustrated. It is most scientific. And our process is very simple. Chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Krishna and Krishna's name, none different. So chanting Hare Krishna means you are associating with Krishna. That means you are directly in touch with the root of everything. So, by advancing in love for Krishna, you can love your society, your country, your community, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your friend, everything. Complete. Purnam. Purnam adak, purnam idam, purnat, purnam udachate, purnasya purnam adaya. And that love will never be ended. Purnam. Love of Krishna is so complete that you go on distributing this love. It will never be expended. It will remain the same. So encouraging. So practical. So simple. And for complicated people, it's too simple. Gotta be complicated. Too simple. Okay, so now this is our writing exercise time. These are, well, there's four questions. They're sequential. And I encourage you, this is not for sharing, it's just for your own internal processing. It may help you in chanting the rest of your rounds, 32, 64, 100 rounds today, however many you chant. How do you feel most incomplete? I'll leave these on the screen. What are the imperfections that you most sorely feel about yourself? How do you try to fulfill these imperfections and or needs in a material way to feel complete? And when you do that, what problems does that create? By solving one problem, you create another problem? So here they are again. We're going to take 5 to 7 minutes. And if you need paper, the papers are being passed around. If you have a little device, everyone these days have a little device. You can make your notes in your little device, or paper will be passed around. And even we have pens. Look at this. So I'll stop speaking so you can read what it says and then reflect and write. The purpose of this exercise is expanding on Mantra 3, the consequences of not connecting with the complete whole, and this phenomenal world connecting with the complete whole as we move about it. It leaves us with a sense of incompleteness. And then in material ways, we take shelters of other things besides the complete whole to find that sense of completeness. It's conditioning. Maya conditions us in that way. And so there's a struggle with Maya. And there's a solution. Specifically, as Prabhupada explained in that lecture in London, it's very simple. Taking shelter of the holy name, because the name and Krishna are not different, then that sense of completeness is fulfilled. Let us now chant this verse together. This is quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashuddho Nitya Mukto Bhinatvam Nama Namino. And the translation: the holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and It is the form of transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there's no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. So the picture is now very clear that the sense of completeness is made very easy. The complete whole personality of Godhead Krishna has made an arrangement for our sense of completeness, spiritual and in turn material, facilitated by the chanting of the holy name. So this is the ending slide. So in meditation while chanting are 32 rounds or 64 rounds or 100 rounds or whatever you do. We can experience completeness each day by taking the opportunity to connect with Krishna through his holy name deeply. So we'll end there. Any comments or questions or discussion?
Hadith. Hare Krishna. We hear that Krishna's name is fully spiritual and liberated and endowed with all of Krishna's potencies, non-different from Krishna himself. And yet, we hear that name through material senses. So it seems like although Krishna's name may be fully spiritual, perhaps our receiving mechanism is
faulty.
Faulty.
Defective. Limited.
Right. So, how do we reconcile that?
Fantastic question. Do you like philosophy? Okay. I invite you to read Canto 10, Chapter 87. Fasten your seatbelt. When you get and have a dictionary by you and have Jai Jagannath not too far away so you can ask him, what does this mean and what does that mean and what does this other thing mean? The question you just asked was asked by Maharaj Pariksit to Shukadeva Goswami. It comes at the end, almost the end, 89 chapters in Canto 10. I'll make it short because of time. He asked the same question. Shukadeva Goswami says, fantastic question. Such a fantastic question. Long, long ago, great sages asked the same question. They were discussing this topic. And when they were discussing the topic, they referred to long, long before that, where the same topic was discussed by the personified four Kumaras. This is a classic question. And the short answer for the long, 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 deeply philosophical answer to the question is, since everything comes from Krishna, or the fully spiritual source of emanation, there's an intrinsic spiritual quality to all things, which when connected with the spiritual origin, they act spiritually. The senses, made of dull matter, have their origin in Krishna. And when the senses are connected with hearing the topic of Krishna and vibrating the sound of Krishna, they become spiritualized and they can act spiritually. The limitation is superseded by the spiritualizing process of connecting with the source through bhakti. Something else? Yes, over here. Himanshu.
Maharaj, in your presentation, as you were speaking about Ishopanishad, I was reminded of a statement from the invocation that Prabhupada makes, that all forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete understanding of the complete whole. So since the emphasis of the presentation was experiencing completeness through the holy name, I was wondering if you could help me understand the implication of the phrase incomplete knowledge of the complete whole in this statement from the invocation.
Are you asking, so that can be really what your question is, this a compare and contrast question? On one sense, the holy name, in another sense, incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. There's one statement and there's another statement. How do they compare? Well, Prabhupada expressed in the invocation what you repeated and what we saw on the slide. Prabhupada expressed in this lecture in London what we read, the transcription of what he said. How they connect is, how is it that complete knowledge of the complete whole is made possible? Answer, through bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha. It's only by bhakti, or devotion, that one can understand the complete whole or understand Krishna, only through the medium of bhakti. Same as Brahma's prayers that we were discussing yesterday. Not by empiric study, but by revelation through Krishna's kindness upon his devotee. Krishna discloses himself. One can know him through devotion. And the awakening of that devotion and the mood, the desire to be in service to Krishna awakens from the hearing process, and the hearing especially all the potencies of Krishna there in his name. Thus, knowledge of the complete whole is made possible through that medium, the holy name. So it's one way of saying it, another way of saying it. It's the same thing, just a different way of saying it. Accessing Krishna, the complete whole, through the medium of devotional service or chanting. And then all the other processes that follow the hearing and chanting activity. Okay. Any other? One more question, if there is one. Okay. So, we wish you well, your journey today. Remind you, as I promised you I would remind you, Mona. So the real test, as soon as class is over, will there be conversation or not? So please, Mona. And when you want breakfast, I guess it's served at 9 o'clock. Up until whenever. And then those that want to, you can continue chanting here until 2:15. Those that want to, according to the schedule, upstairs. I'm pointing to the room upstairs, so we can have kirtan for a while. Softly, please. So we can chant nicely here, japa. And then we'll see you again at 2:15. Then we can break mona. Jai Jagannath, can Haridas Thakur appear? He's in the Pujari room. And then somebody can make an arrangement for a couple of Tulsi plants, one by Haridas and another back here. There are inspirations and supports and the giver of attraction for the holy name. Harinam Sankirtan ki, Siddha Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi.